Hey, sweet friends. My name is Chef Schomburg. I started my baking business with a bottle of DiSerrano and one bundt cake pan. Fast forward to today, from news to magazines, speaking on national stages and more, I can truly say that baking has changed my life. So now, as a bakery business coach, I get to help others have the same success. I've helped hundreds of my students across the world in my global membership program create six-figure businesses, mainly from home. The Baking for Business podcast is an extension of that, from actionable tips to valuable tools and resources that can impact you as a business owner. I truly believe, y'all, we would never have been given a gift if we couldn't profit and prosper from it. So come on, darling, what are you waiting for? Okay, so if you're like many people, you probably have a dream. I'm guessing a big dream. Maybe your dream even involves you having your own line of products where people can just walk into any store and grab it, preferably a Target, because that's where we all like to shop, right? Well, today's guest has done just that, from owning her own cupcakery boutique to now having her product, cake mix in particular, on the shelves at Target, available online, and just taking over by storm. The brand Mary Alice Cakes is a premium cake mix that I'm hoping you're going to love. And today we're going to dive into the story, the making, and how it all came to be. And we have with us today Miss Marla, the founder and inventor. Hi, Miss Marla. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing dandy. It's so happy to have you here. So cake mix. Wow. Now, I know in the baking world, you know, some people are team scratch. Some people are team cake mix. I'm team cake mix. I say,
are you really?
Yes. I say, if the shoe fits, wear it. But your cake mixes are for not just for bakers, but for hobby bakers, for home people. That element of love that I feel that it gives off. So tell us all about, what made you decide to say, hey, I need to create a cake mix product, and how did this get started?
Yeah, well, you know what? Thank you for having me on. So, but you're right. Well, I'm team scratch, but I'm team box if it tastes like scratch. How about that?
So there we go.
You know, back in 2010, I'm gonna make this a condensed version. 2010, I was, I think it was 2010, I'd been laid off. And so I knew that I was getting ready to go back to grad school to get another degree. And so I saw a Facebook friend. That was when fondant was really in then, and the cupcakes were really coming to rise. And she was living in New York. I'll never forget. I don't talk to her now, but she lived in New York. And she put on one Saturday a cake she made from fondant. I was like, oh, that's cute. But I bet I could do that. So I literally took my whole unemployment check the next day, went to like Hobby Lobby, and I bought everything I needed to make cakes. And I started out making fondant out of marshmallows at first. Lo and behold, this is probably July. By that November, we were moving into a storefront. People were like, you should start baking cupcakes. I'm like, I'm not doing cupcakes. If you see these 3D cakes I'm making, they are too cute. I ended up doing cupcakes. So I opened a cupcakery and designer cake boutique. And after that, I had two small children left at home. And I was in a downtown in a very small, not a very, in a smaller city. That didn't have, it was the courthouse type of area, but didn't have a whole lot of foot traffic because everything had moved out north. And so we lasted about 2.5-3 years, and I had to like decide to go back to work. Fast forward, I moved back to Atlanta in 2015. 2019 is the year that changed my life. I changed my life. Had some bad things happen, had some good things happen. Ended up starting a new job. As soon as I started a new job, I was like, okay, what's next? Because I'm an entrepreneur. And I use my jobs to fund whatever I'm dreaming of. You know, I've had a bakery, a cupcake, I've had a shoe boutique, I've had a concierge business. I've done it all, right? Because I just like my time being my time. And in 2019, right before the pandemic, I decided to start a line of buttercream. Then I realized buttercream doesn't make any sense if I don't have a line of cake mix to go with it. So we literally halted the buttercream, forgot I was even working on it. Research for a co-manufacturer and a food scientist that could help me literally take my recipe, because people don't get, it's not a matter of putting your recipe in a box. It's not like that when you're producing in mass quantities. It's not like that at all. So I had to find somebody who could duplicate my recipe on a mass scale. And I did. So then here comes January, February, March, COVID hit. But we're still working on it. And then once we got it, you know, my packaging together and all that, you know, I did it. And here we are. And my story is I started with $0 and I literally had no money to start this business. Yeah. And so by the time we finished creating the formula, it was perfect. I was like, okay, so can I just get a sample of like 100 boxes? I was like, no, that's not how this works in the manufacturing. And I was like, you can't just give me a sample? No, I had to buy thousands. I'm not talking about just, I had to buy thousands of boxes. So I had to figure out how to get those boxes. And the only thing I could think to do was to crowdsource, crowdfund. And so here we are.
Awesome. So we're definitely gonna, that's an amazing story. We're definitely gonna get to that because yeah, that is okay. One of your secret tools that you share. But I love that. So you actually are, unlike other people who just put products out there, you actually are a baker. You have baked,
yes,
bake for right. a period of time. So that's awesome. So how did you start baking? Where did your love of that come from, or who put you on to baking?
I promise you. Okay. I come from a family of amazing bakers and cooks, period. Right. My great grandmother owned a restaurant. My grandmother was an amazing cook. My mother, I remember being 3 years old, which means my mother was probably 26. We were on the front page of our newspaper because she was known for her cooking even at that young age, and you know, wow, how she feeds her family of three. So I got it in me, but I didn't grow up cooking. I certainly didn't grow up baking at all. So much so my family wondered, like, you what? I literally started baking when I saw the girl on Facebook baking that cake. That's when I started, literally. And I'm pretty good at it. I was very good at baking, very yeah. good. And I baked from scratch. And that's what they could not believe. So, you know, but I have a lot of recipes that I'll get from Mary Alice, who we'll talk about soon, I'm sure, and my mother and my grandmother, and you make them your own. And that's how I started baking. You know, my love of baking comes from love of eating.
I definitely get that, Miss Marla. I definitely get that. And yes, you did say a key person's name because you are the founder, Miss Marla. However, your cakes, the brand of your cakes is Mary Alice Cakes. So who is this mystery Miss Mary Alice?
Yes, 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 yes. I get called Mary all the time, and that's not my name. Mary Alice actually has a daughter that's still alive. Mary Alice is my great, great aunt. She's my grandmother's aunt, which made it my mother's great aunt, but she was known for her baking. That's what she was known for. We all went to church together. She was like over the kitchen committee, and she was known for her baking. She was about a year or two before she died, about 2 or 3 years ago, she was written up in the paper because she has a legacy. I'm from Jackson, Tennessee. So that she left a legacy in the city. Everybody, she opened up her home to people. She was just, if I can describe her, just like a very kind, loving, generous person. She was just a good woman. Mm. And she was an exceptional baker. And so when I created the line of cake mixes, I was like, well, when you think about the other cake mixes, you know, they're named after people, except for Betty Crocker's not real, but still is named after a person. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so what you gonna name? You can't name it Marla Pruitt. You can't. That doesn't sound right. Doesn't mm-hmm. fit cake mix. I didn't want to name my old bakery was called Sweet by Design. I didn't want to call it that because you got Sweet Shop and, you know, those brands. I didn't want that. So I'm like, I need something that's going to make people feel like, oh, you know, this is going to taste good with a name like that. And God was like, your aunt, Mary Alice, she bakes. It just made sense to name it after her. So I reached out to my cousin, which is like my mom's best friend. And I said, I know, I mean, I didn't have to ask, but I didn't want to use her mother's name without her knowing. Her name is Mary too. And I just wanted her to know. And she was just really moved that, you know, this is a legacy for my family. So she's my great, great aunt, Mary Alice.
I love that. I love that. And one of the things I love too is that it's crazy because the week that we're recording this on our feed, I had literally just shared a tip about being different and standing out in a saturated market, which was to have a differentiating factor, you know, which consists of multiple things, just your brand story and how you present yourself. And I like that because Mary Alice is part of your brand story. Sometimes we don't think. So I do love the fact that you thought before you just, you know, named a product, and the story is so powerful. So it's so nice to hear that, you know, because you are right. When we look at products, especially, I'm obsessed with the TV show Foods That Built America. And I'm always learning about these products. And it is crazy how some of them actually have fictitious characters, you know, like Antrim and people did it for the marketing. So I love the fact that this is a real person that is where the love and the passion of it comes from. And so now, so you have a name, you have a product. So what were your hopes with Mary Alice Cakes? Like, what makes this cake different?
So I knew that in the cake mix industry, first of all, it is an industry where very few barriers to get in. It's really an easy industry to get in as far as creating it. And you don't have to have any particular, you can get into it. So I knew that. And I also knew that there wasn't anybody that looked like me on the shelves. Now, I do claim that I'm making history by being the first. I know that I'm not the first woman of color to create a cake mix. I'm not claiming that. I'm the first woman of color that created a line of cake mixes that's going to be competing with major retail brands in the stores that are literally on the shelves. So I knew that I wanted to be a part of history. I wanted to be a face of like bridging the gaps, closing some of those gaps with those disparities between gender and race. You don't see many women leading companies in the cake mix industry, and you don't see many women of color, you know, that are leading. So I knew then that was part of my main goal, you know, but I really want to create something, honestly, that is going to leave a legacy. And then people say it sounds cliche, but for me, it's very important to leave a legacy that I did it, because, you know, you can get stigmatized by some choices you make in your life. Like, I have a mother, I was married, you know, with my three children, and, you know, I didn't want to be a statistic. So I've always kind of tried to overachieve and prove, you know, I got 3 degrees and I was the first out of my siblings in my 20s to purchase a home with my 3 kids, you know, by myself. And I've always tried to prove, but I feel like now you don't have anything to prove. Now it's about leaving a legacy. What are you going to do? How are you going to show your children that you don't have to wait for anybody else? So part of me was like, I want to make history, but I also want to leave a legacy. And I also want to create a product that's good. Like, I really want to, because I've used cake mixes, and I'm not going to tell you which one of my competitors is my favorite, but I have a favorite. And I wanted to create a product that was good and that you did not need to hack to make it taste homemade. So I think we've accomplished that. So, and when you taste the mixes, we only have 2 flavors out right now. When you taste them, you're literally getting my from scratch recipes and how the instructions on the back, especially for the chocolate one, is how I made it in my bakery. And so, you know, I just want to, you know, let people know this. I'm not just saying it's different or quality. I really think we're onto something. I know that we're onto something good. I mean, my customers tell me, you know, they've never had a box cake mix taste like this. And that's what I was going for. So.
Awesome. That's amazing. And you mentioned that you said we're getting your recipes. And I know a little earlier on, you mentioned crowdfunding. So how is it that you're sitting back and now you have this brand story and you have this idea and you have this amazing product with these 2 flavors. But like you mentioned before, for someone who's like, okay, well, how can I do that? How can I take an idea or something that I have and then get it on the shelves? Because they might think I might need 1 million resources, but there's things out there such as, you know, not everyone wants to get a loan, but you also have angel investors, and then you have crowdfunding. And that was the route that you chose to go. So so tell me, how did that help you in getting the cake mix line off the ground and started?
Yeah. So once we got the formula together and we actually got the packaging, my boxes, you know, the packaging, the initial, I've changed packaging system, the packaging together. And they told me, this is what you're going to need. And I was like, okay, how am I going to, I knew I didn't want to take out a loan. And at that time, I knew my credit personally couldn't secure a business loan. I knew it. I had just started out. I need to backtrack, because before, in between the cake mix and the buttercream, I started a baking subscription box that kind of launched. It started and ended before anything, but I ordered the boxes. They were going to get different things every month, but that kind of flopped. So I was like, okay, what's next? So long story short, I knew, I didn't know how I was going to get it. So I actually started trying to look for angel investors, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, So then I was like, wait a minute, crowdfunding. Now I will say, I've had a social media brand on Facebook for years, because I've had my own radio show before. And so I had already established a pretty, established a nice size following. So people knew who I was. People that were with me from the beginning, from my bakery, they were still with me. They've seen me go from being laid off to start a bakery. People trusted me. You know what I'm saying? People knew Marla. I'm very outspoken. So you either like me or you hate me. You love me or you hate me. But I was like, you're going to have to just take advantage of your village, your people that you know. So I was never really afraid. I'm a risk taker. So I was never like, what if this don't work? I was like, this has to work. So I researched crowdfunding. I never do anything without researching first, so I know. So then I researched the top companies. I ended up with Kickstarter, because I just ended up with them. And what people don't know, you don't have like unlimited time to raise money. I had 30 days to raise the money that I needed. And what I didn't know before I launched it is, if you don't raise the money, you don't get any of the money. And so I was like, so I have to raise this money. So one thing I will tell people to do, what I didn't do, you really need to really research and study. There are certain ways to be more successful at fundraising than what I was. I was successful by the skin of my teeth, the 11th hour, literally, but I could have been far more successful. And because there's a science to running a campaign, a crowdfunding campaign. So if I ever do it again, I'll know. But I did it and I reached out, and you'll find that you're going to get support from absolute total strangers before you get it from people that you know.
Ooh, come on, girl. That is a whole word. That is a whole word.
And it's not to take away from the people that love me and gave to me, because I do have, there were lots of people who gave to me.
Oh, yeah.
But the majority of the contributors had no idea who I was. And that's why I told people, I started this series on TikTok and Instagram. Your brand story is so important.
Yes.
So people are buying into you. They're not really buying your cake mix, because they can go out and buy $1.10 box of cake mix on the shelf.
Come on.
And so here I am with a $6.99 cake mix. Why are you going to buy my $6.99 over that $1.20 nonsense cake mix? So people are really going to buy you before they buy any of your product.
Yes. I say all the time.
Buy people.
People buy people. They don't buy products.
They don't buy products. So I had to get on there and tell my story. I had to share. You got to know what part you need to put into that story on the crowdfunding. You know, what's going to tug at their emotions and be like, girl, you did that. I'm going to give you some money. What are you going to do? And so I say we, because it's the entity and it's me. But I was successful. As soon as that money hit the account, boom, we ordered. But then we were smack dab in the middle of this pandemic. So I'm thinking, I told my contributors, we're ordering here. By the middle of September, you're going to have your gifts and your product in hand. Well, that didn't happen. We didn't get our product until the week before Thanksgiving. And we've ended the crowdfunding campaign in the end of July. And so that was, and it was just, It was a delay with the boxes, the manufacturer for the boxes. And then they would say, well, yeah, it's the eucalyptus trees. I said, eucalyptus, you know, I learned a whole lot. I learned what boxes are made out of, you know, and so, but we did it. So, yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know we have some new people. We always have so many different levels of people who listen. Some people have storefronts and some people are mm-hmm. just brand new. So real quick, I just do want to go over just the simple basics of what crowdfunding is, because Ms. Okay. Marla touched on it so right. well. But for any of those who are interested, crowdfunding is simply the process of raising money for a business product or for a charitable cause from many mm-hmm. individual donors. Mm-hmm. Necessarily those donors are what we consider the crowd. So mm-hmm. like Ms. Marla right. stated, she used a platform which is called Kickstarter, which is pretty popular. There are some others like Indiegogo, and I'm right. not going to get into it because you right. can reach out to Ms. Marla for one-on-one if that's something that you want to do. But basically on crowdfunding websites, companies in search of financial support advertise their campaigns and they offer rewards to backers who right. are people who are willing to provide some level of funding. And like Ms. Marla stated, I know you think, wait a minute, but I don't know these people. Why would these people fund me? Because there are kind people out there that do believe in helping people, that want to see people succeed. It's almost just like Shark Tank. You know, like when you go on Shark Tank, you position yourself in front of a bunch of people. And when you have a good idea, there are people, total strangers, you know, hello, Mark Cuban, Damon John with his fine ass, yes. and all types of other people mm-hmm. who will pour into you. So for those who don't know, that's necessarily just the basis of crowdfunding. And that's what Ms. Marla did. And I think that's so lovely because it's awesome to see someone from our community. Again, this isn't like a fake person who doesn't know how to bake, an actual baker who yeah. believed in herself. She poured into these products. She went out for it and she did this. So that is so awesome. So now you got the packaging, you got everything, you got the money, girl, the dollars started rolling in. Like you said, because yes, sometimes people will give to us who are more so strangers than they are mm-hmm. our family. How did that feel when you walked into, I'm pretty sure you walked into Target or that Georgia Food Line and you saw your cake mix on the shelf? How did that feel?
Okay. It was amazing. And that was a whole journey. That was a journey. So I won't get into the specifics, how I landed in Target, but I'm available online Target right now. Awesome. And for me, that's like a miracle because I became a vendor with Target not even 9 months into the game. So we started in November. By April, we were already in talks. And so the process of onboarding takes a lot. So when I'll be on the shelves very soon. So just having that experience of onboarding with them, when you're online, you know, with Target, you can be what's called a DVS, or you can be where they ship it from their warehouse, or you drop ship for them. And so they go through the process of determining what you're going to do. Of course, you know, Target has these accelerator programs. And so when I got to Target, I was interested. They're like, oh, we've heard of you already, because I'd already applied for their accelerators, because I'm figuring that's going to be the way you get in. That is the way to a really good way to get into Target. You have to apply. They have several, like three accelerators that you get an opportunity to learn. You go through these programs and then you have an opportunity in some of them to pitch or to just present your product in front of people. So that was going to be my go in. But when I did get in, and then they found out, and they're like, oh, no, we've already heard of you. We're so excited. I was like, what? And so it was really good. So then I ended up, I'll tell you how I got into Food Line, because this is something that any product-based entrepreneur should invest in. You should invest in, it's a site called Range Me, because you literally get to have opportunities to be in front of buyers. And that's how I got in front of Food Lion. But I'm also pretty good at pitching. So I was able to pitch them and for what was called a local review. And so meaning you're going to be in the stores where you're manufactured. Sure. Technically, I'm manufactured in West Virginia, but my headquarters is in Georgia. I'm a Georgia-based product. So we're in all of Georgia Food Lion. So to walk into that store, it was a big product. It was a big long to do about getting in there too. But I was just like, let me just go. I had to go to Tallahassee to see my son in school. And so I drive through Albany to get there. And when I walked to all the food lines in that city. And I was like, we're in all of them. And it was just amazing. Like, I'm in a store. Like I'm in a store. And it's just a dream come, like, it's a dream come true. Every entrepreneur's goal is probably to be into retail. Although e-commerce, we'll talk about that later if we have time. Don't sleep on e-commerce. You really should never sleep on your own e-commerce site. But to be in the retail on shelves is pretty major for me. And it lends the brand some credibility, and it gives me an opportunity to perform. So my next move is Kroger. My next move is Publix. And so I'm excited. Hopefully we'll be there soon. Got some things in the works. So hopefully we see. But it was exciting to answer your question.
Yes. Amen. I love that. I love that. I know you had a TikTok that was really big for you, and you were talking about your faith. And I'm sure faith played a big part, because there are some people who, like you said, you've always had an entrepreneur bug. You know, mm-hmm. if it wasn't the cupcakery, the concierge business, yeah. you had an idea for the subscription box. You know, we all yes. have multiple ideas, and we start, stop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was it in you? Do you have a word of the year, or what's your favorite scripture quote or something that keeps you going? Mm-hmm. Because like you said, this road has not been easy, but you're here. Mm-mm. So,
Mm-mm. you know, first off, keep doing it. Don't worry about people saying she's always doing something. He's always on. Well, you keep doing it till something sticks. Keep doing it till something sticks. Don't worry about how many times you're willing to take a risk to create something with your own mind, your own hands. So first off, don't shut out the noise, and you just keep going to something sticks. But my faith, okay, so I don't have a choice. I had to make it. I don't share this. I'm gearing to start another part of my, like, what is it like? Like, what does the face of depression look like? Because nobody would guess based on my online personality, or even when you saw me in person, that I deal with. And I just admitted it to myself this week. I mean, not this week, this year. But I've known for years. You know, I had twins in 2001, and I suffered with postpartum. And I probably was treated, and I probably had some medication. I didn't even stay on for a week or two or three at the most. And it took my adult daughter, who will be 29 next month, in May, to tell me, I don't think you understand what it was like. There were times we would come home, Mom, and I could always tell, because your room, you never hung up your clothes. Your room was always a mess. And then all of a sudden one day you just get up, you would just get in the bed, get up, go to work, get up. And I'm like, no, and she's like, yes, you did, Mom. I lived it. And then I just look back over my life, and I know that I deal with it now. So I have to be able to push myself and understand that this, you know, everybody, whatever you want to desire, you're meant to have it, period. Yes. You're meant to have it. And you have to really tell yourself that, and not just tell, you have to know. See, there's belief, and then there's knowing. So I was working my way. You can believe something, but when you know something, that means it's real.
Yeah.
It's literally real, because I know it. I see it. I feel it. I sense it. So my faith is just like, every time I feel like, or every time I'm, you know, I think maybe I'm dealing with some depression or feeling like where I've lost everything, and I've lost everything more than once. But I've never been without. I had to push myself. When I started this business, I was in the throes of a depression, and I had lost everything. I literally moved in as a grown woman with two sons graduating, moved in with my twin sister. Like, that was hard.
Yeah.
And you know, I said, you got to push through this. And I started scripting. I scripted what I want. People may not know what you're scripting. Scripting is when you write down what you want as if. So my sister was like, you just got to keep scripting. So she was there to, you know, because that's what we believe. We scripted. I just made sure I kept putting into me, feeding myself with scripture, with the books that I like to read, like, you know, Think and Grow Rich or The Alchemist, or, you know, books that really fed me. Yeah. I fought my way to depression through meditation. And once I did that and really started focusing on like gratitude, like, if you, no matter what you're feeling like, if you can muster up just a little bit of strength to be, to say you're grateful about something. No other negative emotion can reside when you're in a state of gratitude. It's impossible. Yeah. So I had to really focus on being grateful. I lost everything, but I have a sister that I could stay with. I lost everything, but we just got a chance to be on Game of Games. I lost everything, but we won Game of Games. I came back with a windfall of money, which set me up. And then once the momentum starts to rolling, you got to keep the momentum up. And absolutely. So I knew that what's for me is for me. You're not behind. You're not racing against the clock. Time is an illusion. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Stop competing with people and you'll be there. So that's what my faith, how it really helped me to just stay, even during the darkest times of my life, to push through it. But you got to have a village around you too. I can't not give my village enough credit for being there for me, period, through all my ideas, through all everything, just everything. So
I love
I talk that. A lot.
No, you don't. You're fine, because what you said was so organic and natural and authentic. And a lot of times we look at Facebook and Instagram and we're seeing great things happen to people, but we don't understand that we're looking at the highlights. You know, people share the highlights. So it's not that they don't want to share the bad, but sometimes mm-hmm. who wants to see all the bad? You know, how do you mm-hmm. display that? But everybody does have a journey. Everybody has ups and downs. And especially as an entrepreneur, especially mm-hmm. as a baker, when you're a creative, you know, because you mm-hmm. always tend to tie your product to your worth, your value. As if when someone says no to you, that means yeah. that you're not worthy. No, they're saying no to the product. They're saying no to whatever you put out, but that doesn't mean that no is the end answer for your assignment. Yes. You keep going no matter how yes. many no's you get. When you have an assignment and receive it, it's up to you. You know, people always say, fake it till you make it. And I tell people, no, I don't believe in faking it till you make it. I believe in faithing it. You believe it until you achieve it. I'm not going to fake
it.
I'm not going to fake
That's
anything. You know. And I love that. So I love what you shared, because, you know, we're all his children. And, you know, it says, write the vision, make it plain. Right. Yes. So if we follow, some people call it New Age affirmations at the end of the day, scriptures. But if we just walk in what is told for us, you know, that we will inherit riches while on earth, we'll get it. We just have to have a plan for it. Right.
That's it. I mean, like you say, it's right there. It's in the you know, everybody's different. It's there. It's written. Like, write the vision, make it plain. Write the vision, make it plain, and believe.
Yeah. I love that.
Even if you got to pivot, even if you have to pause, you can pause. It's okay to pause. Just believe.
Absolutely.
And that's a word for me today, because I got told a no last week from the largest retailer in the world.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
I'm like, I know what God told me. I'm going, you know, but I got told no. And God was like, you know, that's not a no. It's just not right now. Plus, that's not the perfect fit for you right now. But yeah. I just really, really, really wanted it. So, but, you know.
And I love the feeling. And there are times where we want things. We set our sights on things. And, you know, a no from man isn't always a no from God. It could just be, like you said, a no right now. And it could be mm-hmm. something on that other side that you don't see that he's blocking for you. He's blocking for you. So I love it. I love it. I love how big your faith is. I love that you display that and share that. And now you're to the other side. You have a product. You have what you want. You saw it through. Like you said, you have people believe and pour into you with the crowdfunding. And like mm-hmm. you stated, I love the fact, because that's one big, I have a monthly group coaching thing. And that's one big thing that I tell people, accountability with like-minded people is so important, because you can have other people around you that don't understand what you want to do, that don't understand that you're going to get weary in the race. You know, that don't understand what it's like to be up late at night, or what it's like to be told no, you know. And like you said, sometimes we might feel maybe I'm too old, I'm not there yet, but you said it perfect. I mean, you're 50, you don't look a day over 25.
Girl, so stop.
Your dreams started coming through in your 40s, but sometimes we give up. We give up way too soon. Colonel Sanders didn't start till he was like 40, 48 or 49 himself.
Yes.
I love it. I love it, Ms. Marla. So what is your hopes for all the bakers listening who are going to go online to Target.com, who are going to get some Mary Alice, because that's the assignment for this week. What is your hope whenever we get that bright yellow box that I'm waiting on? Come on, mailman. I know it's joy, it's love. And what else do you put into your products that's going to make us smile?
You know what? Love. It really is made with love. It really, and I say that because I used to say that in my bakery. And it's the same love. It's the same desire to, because part of my story is when we were growing up, we never had dinner without dessert, like Sunday dinners or family dinners or holiday dinners. Never. That was a part of us gathering. My mother, she's such an amazing cook and baker. She's the type that eats her sweets before she eats dinner.
Oh, that's
I was like, okay, now that's she does that. That she has always done it. And she'll say, look, I'm gonna tell you one thing, a cook should never be hungry. I was like, what you mean? She said, if a cook is hungry, then that's something wrong. She said, I'm like, why are you gonna sit down and eat? She said, I'm good, I'm not hungry. That's because you're eating while you're cooking, but I get it. But it is made, you know, with love, and it's made with you in mind, with the customer, with people in mind. I want them to feel like when we first launched, and people are always buying. When it was new, I couldn't keep up from the week before Thanksgiving until to December 31st. I couldn't keep up because it was just me. I didn't have no fulfillment or nothing. It was just me. And those boxes was going out left. And then when the testimonials would come in, I had gentlemen who would buy it. This one gentleman, he's a single guy, he's been following me for years. He said, Marlon, I'm not just telling you this. He said, this white cake literally reminds me of the cake my mother used to make. And I was like, are you serious? And then you would have people walk in and say, this one chick saw me on some status, one woman saw me on some status on Facebook, and one of my best friends mentioned me. She said, my sister actually had that cake mix for Thanksgiving, and she made that cake for us. I'm gonna tell you, that was slap your mama good. Like, so when I hear that, I was like, this is amazing, because nobody wants to hear your product is bad. You know, nobody wants to hear it wasn't good, it was this. Because what I've done with the product, you don't have to add anything to it. You do not have to add your flavors to it. I see people who are professional bakers who bought it and then they add their flavors. I'm like, you're not going to get the full extent of the cake mix. And, you know, you can add it, but see what the cake mix tastes like first before you add any vanilla to it, especially the white cake mix. You don't have to add none to the chocolate mix, but they're so used to having to add flavor to the other box cake mixes. I'm like, just try this one first. And then you realize, oh my goodness, I've never had a cake that tastes like this. And so I just want people to really feel like it tastes from scratch. It tastes like it came from a bakery. And that you're really satisfied. You're really pleased when you bite into, you know, a Mary Alice cupcake or a piece of cake. So I really just hope people really, really like it. And, you know, people think it's, oh, you got to know I don't. Like, getting into the retail stores is one thing, staying in the stores is another. So, you know, if we don't do well, if those numbers don't, because I already know what month Target already told me, they're checking my numbers. So I'm gonna need that chocolate to start flying off. And we have, and people like, when the white coming in? And I said, I don't think y'all get how much it costs for me still to order a whole thing of white cake mix that I have to order. So it's gonna come in when it, you know, when we just money come in. But so, you know, because they're not pre-ordered. We're not at the stage. We're not on the shelves where they're placing a purchase order for X amount and they have it. I have to have the inventory for Target right now. So we're working on the perfect white right now to restock on our website and on Target's website. But if you're in Georgia, you can get it from Food Line. They took all my white. So we have to stay there. So the goal is to stay in retail, not just to get in, because you can get in and 6 months later, you can be out. So, you know, but I just hope people really receive it with love, because it wasn't for me about like, let me just do this. I really care about my product. I really want a quality product on the shelves that I could be proud of and my mother can be proud of. And if my grandmother was alive, she could be proud of. And if Aunt Mary Alice was here, that she would be proud of. So I think I've done that.
Absolutely. I think you've done that and then some, and not just a product that your mother and your aunt and your grandmother could be proud of, but also your perseverance and a personality. Yeah. And a person that they can be proud of as well with your
right.
endurance and your faithfulness. So that's right. awesome. So I love that.
Thank
oh my
you.
Gosh, you're welcome. We went over so much, girl. You are so
I just realized the time.
Inspiring. Oh no. We could keep talking all day. I'm shocked. I don't want to hold you. You're fine, but no, and I don't want to. I will put in there. I'm gonna link to Mary Alice's website, Miss Marla's website, which is Mary Alice. Mm-hmm. In the show notes, I'm going to link to it, because for anybody else who's interested, I love for you guys to learn. I believe we're always able to learn from OPM, other people's mistakes. That way we yes. don't have to learn with OPM, other people's money.
That's so, right.
And I'm going to plug it here first. You heard it here first. It hasn't been dropped nowhere else, but Miss Marla is actually working on an ebook for those
yes.
who also want to get their products and stuff out on the shelves. And y'all know I'm a firm believer in learning. So be sure to check the show notes. That way you can check the website and get updates mm-hmm. from her. Miss Marla, are you mm-hmm. ready for lightning round?
I'm ready. Let's go.
You ready? Let's go. Miss Marla, who is your celebrity crush, beautiful?
I don't really have a celebrity crush, but let me think. I don't have a celebrity crush. We'll come back to that one. Let me think real quick, because I just don't have one. I don't.
Okay. If you were a flavor, who would you be?
A flavor?
Mm-hmm.
I like almond.
Oh, okay. I like that. Mm-hmm. All right. What is your favorite kitchen utensil?
Oh, and it's funny you asked me this, because I have kept the same one from my bakery. I just won't get rid of it. And it's just the spatula that I stir my cake mixes with, or my buttercream with, that stirring spatula. That's just my favorite thing. I love it. I won't get rid of it ever.
Okay. Nothing wrong with a spatula. I'm a whisk girl. I like my whisk.
I don't like whisk. I like whisk. I like to use them. I hate cleaning them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that one. What is your favorite book?
Oh, I got a lot, but I will say Think and Grow Rich. There's so many. The Alchemist. God, there's a whole list of them. I'm reading one now that's called, I do when I say read Audible. But yeah, all those type of books that really speak to faith. And manifesting. I'm a really big believer in manifesting, and that mouth,
absolutely.
You know, controlling this mouth and that tongue, so you can manifest.
Yes, absolutely. I got both of yours that you recommended up here, Think and Grow Rich. And then
there we go.
Uh-huh. And right now.
Oh, really? Uh-huh, it's a whole slew of them in my little library. I could recommend so many of them. Outwitting the Devil is another one. I love that little book. These are really easy reads too, but it's a lot of other books that I used to be a really big reader, but for right now, I'll just say those.
Okay. So now we're back to it. Celebrity crush. You didn't have time to think.
Okay. Yeah.
You gotta have one.
I do. I gotta have one. Girl.
Michael Jackson.
Well, let me tell you who used to be my celebrity. Okay. Now I'm 5'10". This dude probably like 5'1", 4'9". But Prince was. And I guess I didn't think about him now because he's not here. But Prince, like the biggest crush on Prince. Oh, Prince? Yeah. Prince. Oh, I would have picked Prince up. Ooh, yeah. I was at his very last concert ever in life. The Prince. Yeah, Prince.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Prince. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
He was just a sexy dude to me.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Okay. I wasn't thinking Prince. I really wasn't ready for that one. I thought you was going to say Marvin Gaye or Idris Elba or somebody.
Nah, I didn't Idris. Marvin Gaye, though, but yeah. I didn't think about him, but yeah. But no, I'm trying to think of like new age, like younger guys. Everybody say Denzel, he's not my crush, but Prince was my crush for real though.
Oh, well, that is awesome sauce. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm happy. Now we've learned something about you. And this is definitely a story of inspiration and faith and hope. And you're paving the way. I'm glad I got to talk to you now, you know, before. Yeah, I had to get it in early.
That's funny, you know. And listen, because QVC is knocking at the door. And I'm like, that is going to change the game.
Yes. Yeah, so, I have another young lady who has a pie company who was able to pitch and to do the pitch contest for PPC. And so we're going to believe y'all. We all have our fingers and our whisk and our spatulas crossed. We'll see Miss Marla on QVC soon.
Yes.
You got it, girl. You got it. But for now, thank you so much for coming and talking to us and hanging out. And thank you for sharing your products with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Queen.
Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Wow. Was that not an amazing episode or what? If I do say so myself, I am a little biased. I do like it over here. But you guys, tell me this. What is more shocking? The fact that Miss Marla is into prints or the fact that she started a business with no money down? I'm going to go with the fact that she chased her dream and started a business with no money down, because I'm sure that's what excited you guys today. But y'all, if you listen closely, you will get so many gems from Miss Marla. She really reminds me of Mrs. Fields in the way of that. She's just pioneering the way and believing in herself no matter what. One of the things that I thought about when speaking to her was this woman is not only consistent, she is persistent. And I think that's something that really means a lot, because being persistent is just continuing to firmly have that faith and to take action despite difficulty or opposition. And that's something that's hard. Sometimes it's hard for us to stay the course when things around us are changing and we don't know what the situation is like. But I do believe, just like Miss Marla, that regardless of your finances, it's all about your faith. You were definitely meant to be the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, and your ladder will surely be greater than the rest. So you guys, we have some work to do. We've learned some great things for those of us who have a desire to put our products on the shelves, but also as bakers, now is the time. You know, you heard Miss Marla give that call to action. If we can buy Betty Crocker, Duncan Pillsbury, that means it's time for us to get to the store, head to the shelves, and support this young lady the same way that she's poured into us today and supported our community as well. I have a feeling that you guys are going to love these premium cake mixes, whether you use them for business or whether you're just leisurely baking something for yourself. I mean, after all, if you're listening to this, you're probably a baker, right? So you guys, check the show notes. I'm going to link specifically, like she told us, to her Target site where you can get all of those yummy, awesome goodies. And be sure you check out her website as well. And let's continue this conversation. What are your thoughts about this episode? If you have not already, join my free support group, Baking for Business, over on Facebook. I'm going to link that in the show notes as well. I love to hear what you guys thought about today's guest, as well as I'm going to keep you guys updated with all the products and services that Miss Marla has to share with our community. All right, y'all. You guys, I hope you take these nuggets and I hope they inspire you. Thanks for letting me come and share with you another amazing guest in your eardrums this week. I cannot wait to come back and talk to you guys next week. See, I'm already so excited to share. Bye for now.